this. I'd seen him do it to others. I'd seen him be angry with other devotees. But he just looked at me and said, "Never mind, Shyam Sundar. We can use the rest." This is Prabhupada's mercy. He was a friend to everyone. Everyone who knew Prabhupada felt that Prabhupada was their special friend, that he was special. He had a special relationship with me, not the others, just me. The story that reminds me of that is very interesting. You remember the little hut in Mayapur, the little grass hut? Before Mayapur sprung up, the only building there was a small grass and bamboo hut where Prabhupada was going to stay. This is his first trip to Mayapur. And so all the big brahmacharis were there. All the big people of all of ISKCON were there for Prabhupada's inspection of the Mayapur property. So it came toward nightfall, and all the big guys expected, well, there's no place to sleep except this room. We'll probably all just sleep in here with Prabhupada. There was a bed for Prabhupada with a mosquito net around it. And so Prabhupada said, "All right, now it's time for bed. All of you go outside. You sleep outside. But Shyam Sundar, he can sleep in here with me because he does not snore." So I got to sleep along the bed next to him on the floor. And I could hear out on the porch and out on the grounds all night long. But another thing I heard was every once in a while I'd hear this slapping sound. Like that. And finally I hear these words, "Shyam Sundar, there is a mosquito in my net. Come and kill it." I turned the flashlight on. Prabhupada's still laying there. I crawled right into bed with him. He's, around his legs. And looked all around, finally saw the mosquito, and I killed it. Thank you. And we all went to sleep. Friend to everyone. His sense of humor. Prabhupada was always laughing, jolly, cracked jokes all the time. And, he had memorized jokes from Bengali jokes and he would make spur-of-the-moment jokes, comments, and ironic stuff he would say, or satirical. Especially, he liked slapstick. His favorite comedy show was Charlie Chaplin. He would watch Charlie Chaplin movies and just crack up. And, in my research here, I started looking in the Veda base. That's our Hare Krishna computer program for all of Prabhupada's books, all of Prabhupada's conversations, lectures, everything is there. And there's the two most used words in the whole Veda base, millions of times, are Krishna, that's number one, and number two is the word laughter in brackets. Because Prabhupada had everybody laughing all the time. And in most of the photographs and films you'll see of Prabhupada, he's laughing or about to laugh. And once he defined laughter to me, this is a great definition of laughter. It's the difference between what you expect to happen and what really happens. Prabhupada saw this whole cosmic manifestation as a joke. Very funny. And his laugh, his best laugh, would start really deep in his belly. You'd see it start to shake like that, just his belly. And then it would rise up in his body, and his shoulders would start shaking. And he'd get his teeth locked in like a rictus, like that, put his head back, and tears would start coming down. But he didn't bray out loud like, you know, a donkey or something. He just laughed inside himself. But it would manifest in a terrific physical eruption. And so you knew from seeing Prabhupada that laughter and is the nature of the spirit soul. He was magnanimous to the extreme. Prabhupada paid the gate fee for humankind to enter paradise. He gave every breath of his energy for the benefit of all living entities. He was a poet. His life was a poem. It was full of grace and meter and rhyme and sparkling metaphors and rhythm. In the thousands of lectures, conversations, debates, interviews, you always feel like you've just heard the perfect display of words. He used to say when discussing Darwin, he would say, well, your ancestors may have been apes, but mine were poets. So, in that vein, I wrote a little poem here. I don't know if you want to hear it. All right. Well, I wrote this it's called The Fascinating Beauty of Your Face. To its knees with your sword. Grabbing the red eye for Africa. Cooking up strategy, reckless and laughing, weighing the pros and cons, portioning time into one-way tickets, dosing your children with love. Gathered together as one mighty force, a century and 12 years later, the secret of secrets is safe in our hands, for as long as we see the perfect symmetry, the fascinating beauty of your face. So many transcendental qualities are possessed fully in Srila Prabhupada. He is the embodiment of the perfect person. And if we just remember his face and look in our minds at his beautiful face, the perfect world is with us now and forever. Want to say anything?
Well, this is a big letdown. After hearing from Shamashundi, you have to hear from me, the local fool. But I have a picture book here, and Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Saya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinami Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nyevase Satsunyavadi Baskita Desitari. And in the picture book it has pictures of Srila Prabhupada's famous pictures, and there's a backstory on all of these pictures. A backstory. So here we have one photo. Most of you have seen this photo before. It's a beautiful photo. And I'd like to tell the backstory regarding this photo. Sringa, you seen this photo before?
Right.
So this photo was taken in San Francisco in 1970 at the Rapiato. You can tell, if you want to do a little investigation, you see in the background there's a poster. That's the poster for the Rapiato Festival in San Francisco in 1970. So we have to understand the mood in America at that time. Previously, or around that time, there was a big article in Life magazine. It was entitled The Year of the Guru. And it was about all the different gurus that had come to America at that time. There was, Maharishi, the most famous, and then there was Rajneesh, you know, the crazy Baba who would appear at his darshan every day with a different type of Rolls Royce. And there was so many stories about gurus who were just ostentatious, and they were over the top, and they were wasteful and salacious. There were so many accusations posed at different gurus. So Prabhupada was arriving in San Francisco at that day under that cloud of suspicion from the reporters, newspaper reporters. They were saying, oh, another Swami, comes to San Francisco. I wonder what he's going to do. And so everybody was aware of that sensitivity that was there, that Srila Prabhupada was coming to San Francisco, and the newspaper reporters were there lurking. They were lurking in the bushes, you know, what's he going to do? Is he going to have a Rolls Royce too? And there's a Rolls Royce story to tell about Prabhupada as well, which I'll tell later. Not too much later. So anyways, Prabhupada is coming, and I'm thinking, well, we've got to do everything. We don't want to have a Rolls Royce. We just want to have a regular, plain, ordinary car to pick up Prabhupada. We don't want to do anything ostentatious. We don't want to set the reporters off. But Bhavananda, he had an idea that, because this was the first major gathering of disciples from all over America. They had come from far and wide to attend this largest festival that we had, San Francisco Rath Yatra. It was the only Rath Yatra that was happening. I think London started the year after, or was that the same year? But anyways, by far Rath Yatra in San Francisco was the time when all the devotees were coming from everywhere. There was temple presidents from San Diego, from Laguna Beach, from Portland, from Seattle, from New York, from Columbus, Ohio, Montreal, all different places all over the country. So Bhavananda had the idea that every temple president should offer Srila Prabhupada a garland, a separate garland. And it shouldn't be just an ordinary garland. It should be solid white gardenias. Bhavananda, right? Pearl buttons and all, right? Solid gardenias. No other flowers. Just solid white gardenias. The most, fragrant flowers by far, because we never got flowers from India or from Hawaii in those days. Gardenia was always said, that was the place, that was, the garland which was done in grand style. So we wanted to do this in grand style for Prabhupada. So solid white gardenias. And we said, Bhavananda, it's going to be $100, a piece, for a garland. It's a little bit wasteful, isn't it? And at that time, as Shamashunda said, the bank accounts of the temples weren't very large. Mostly they were in the red. But they decided, okay, Bhavananda convinced everybody, he shamed everybody. You can't afford $100 for your guru. You can't afford it, So everybody fessed up with the money, and they bought all these gardenias. And the Matajis and everyone went. And that was the thing, that each temple president was going to get to put a garland of white, solid white gardenias on Srila Prabhupada. So we can see from the picture, how many gardenia garlands. Those are all solid white gardenias. All right, so that's, you know, then I'm thinking, oh, this is a little bit over the top, you know, what are they going to say about this? You know, and I'm hearing some grumblings from the reporters, like, oh, yeah, look at this guy, you know, what's he doing, you know. They're kind of calculating in the mind, this $100, $200, this is like $1,000 worth of gardenias here. And Srila Prabhupada has arrived on, you know, he's got one garland that is not gardenias. That's the first garland he got when he got off the plane. But this particular happening, meeting, was in the VIP room in the airport. When Srila Prabhupada arrived on the airplane, he would fly in, and then he would go to a VIP room, and then the reporters would go there, and they would make their questions. So I was thinking, oh, this is not so good, you know. All the temple presidents got their gardenia garlands. So Prabhupada comes in, he sits down, and one by one, the temple presidents are going up, putting the gardenia garlands in. And they were kind of trying to outdo each other. One garland was 3 foot long, the other one was 4 foot long. The one garland is about 5 or 6 feet long of solid gardenias. And any person who's ever made a garland knows you can make kind of a skimpy garland, one flower like that. But these were like full. They were full gardenias, you know. Full, all the way down. So this is a small room, you know, about as big as this apartment, maybe twice the size of this apartment. And you can imagine all these gardenias in the small room. They're being put on Srila Prabhupada. Put on the fragrance is starting to waft out into the hall and into the back of the room where all these, reporters are sitting. Ah, yeah, look at them with all the gardenias, you know. They've got all, they're spending all their money on this guru. You know, it's going to be a major point of contention. I was thinking, oh, no, how are we going to get out of this? So, but Prabhupada is not settled yet. You know, everybody who's attended a Prabhupada reception at an airport, you know, we just took over the whole airport. We just had a big kirtan party there, you know, and we had, you know, drums and madungas and pictures of Krishna and Prabhupada and flags and festoons, and we just kind of like took over the whole place. It was just like Prabhupada's coming, you know. And there was never any permission or any permits or anything like that, you know. It was like, yeah, Prabhupada's arrived, you know. Everybody should be doing this, right? Everybody should be chanting and dancing. And I remember, anyways, that's another story. So Prabhupada, the kirtan is going on from Prabhupada. He comes down the escalator, and all the devotees are coming down the escalator with Prabhupada, and reporters are all running behind. They're taking little notes, you know, like, you know, why are you using all these flowers, and why are you doing this? So Prabhupada arrives in the VIP room. He sits down. And, you know, they start putting the garlands on them, the gardenia garlands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And these guys are getting snarlier and snarlier. And I'm saying, oh, man, what's going to happen? I'm the president of the temple, San Francisco Temple at that time. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm thinking about what's going to happen after the festival, you know, down the road, you know, when we get all these headlines in the newspaper. And, you know, people are throwing bricks through the window of the temple or whatever, like all your devotees, you know. You spend all your money. All you guys are on the street collecting money every day, and you spend them on gardenias for your guru. You know, this is this big ostentatious show, you know. So Prabhupada's got all these gardenias, and you see from the picture, Prabhupada's just swarmed with gardenia garlands, you know. So the kirtan is going on, and as the kirtan is going on, after all the gardenias are put on Prabhupada, he starts taking the gardenias off, the garlands off. Put one reporter back there. The Prabhupada's telling his disciples. He takes another one, he gives to his disciples. Put it on another reporter. And somehow or other, Prabhupada had this psychic ability. He didn't put any garland on anyone else except the reporters. And as he was putting the garlands on the reporters, they were all putting down their pencils. They're going, this smells pretty nice. You know, well, most people never, ever have a garland on themselves in their life. Unless they go to Hawaii or something, right? There's like a question, they get a lay when they get off that. But here he is, these reporters, for the first time in their life, they're getting a garland of solid white gardenias, smelling beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada turned the whole atmosphere of that room simply by offering all those gardenias. And not one of those reporters made a criticizing remark. A question, or in the newspapers that day, we had good publicity for the Rafia Festival. So like that, Srila Prabhupada turned the whole thing around. Just didn't even have to say anything. He just gave the gardenias back to the reporters. Another arrival happened in Melbourne, Australia, for Rathiatra. It was at the same, you know, same event. Seems like a lot of you know, energy is generated at those Rathiatra festivals. So some of you might have heard this story of Srila Prabhupada arriving in Melbourne, Rathiatra. And again, it's around that time when the gurus are being criticized for, you know, living a very lavish life. And Aussies have a particular mentality. They say they like to cut down the tall poppy. That's a expression in Australia. Like, poppy grows up tall, slash it down. So like somebody who makes good, they like to bring them down to, you know, bring them down to their level. Fair dinkum, they have the expression. Fair dinkum, you know, true blue. So I'm not an Australian, but they some people think. So that day, we made a mistake. You know, we decided that we wanted to pick up Srila Prabhupada in a Rolls Royce. You know, this was a major mistake. But we said, all right, well, whatever, you know. We're going to pick up Prabhupada in a Rolls Royce. So one devotee friend was a chauffeur. He had access to Rolls Royce. It wasn't even a good Rolls Royce. It was just like a Rolls Royce, but it was a Rolls. It had a little head cap, Rolls Royce. And the lady up with the lady right on the front, you know, of the Rolls Royce car. John used to have one. So we pulled the Rolls Royce up to the airport gate where Prabhupada is going to arrive, and then the reporters are going crazy. Where's the Rolls Royce? Who's going to let that Rolls Royce fall? Because there's a Rolls Royce picking someone up at the airport, and it's somebody important. It's either a rich man, a diplomat, an actor, an actress, or something like that. But then they immediately put it together. Oh, they want to pick him up in a Rolls Royce. They got to get him in a Rolls Royce. So sure enough, Prabhupada arrives, and he comes off the plane. We put on the garlands, not gardenias, but a lot of garlands. And he goes to the VIP room, and the first question they came out with, they said, Swami Jay, do you think it's very appropriate for a Swami and a monk like you, a renounced monk like you, to be picked up in a Rolls Royce car? You know, do you think it's right for a guru to be picked up in a Rolls Royce car? And Prabhupada said, only a Rolls Royce? He said, they should pick me up in a car made of diamonds. And then he went on to explain, you know, that the spiritual master is the bona fide representative of God, and he should be offered the same respect as God. And that if God arrived in the airplane, would you not want to pick him up in the best car you could find? You know, a car made of diamonds. And so in this way, Prabhupada again stifled the reporters. So over and over again, Srila Prabhupada showed us that Krishna can dance on your tongue. He can make you say the right thing. And if you have full faith in Krishna, there's no question of saying the wrong thing. There's no question of doing something that you will regret. If you sincerely try to serve Krishna, Krishna takes care of the results, and Krishna makes everything right. And Srila Prabhupada showed us, and he gave us this guiding light so we could live our life like that, that we could go ahead, full steam ahead, and not try to please the general public. Although we don't try to agitate the general public, Prabhupada explained that in the jungle, the lion is the king. Amongst the animals, not amongst the humans. The humans may fear the lion, but they don't respect him. The lesser animals respect the lion. So similarly, the politicians and the great so-called philosophers and writers and film directors of our time, they are like the lion, and the people that are praising them are like the animals, the smaller animals. So Prabhupada said, we don't aspire to be the lion. You know, we don't want to be the lion. We want to be human beings who are dogs for Krishna. We want to be the dog of Krishna. We don't want to be the lion. So Srila Prabhupada, thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to be the dogs of Krishna. Yeah. Is that it? Jai Prabhu, there's going to be some transcendental refreshments, I guess, on the way out. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mother Parvati, and everybody else who organized this. This is a great attendance tonight. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada's pleased.
Kaya Tadhya Priyaya Namo Nanthalilaya Devaya Thubhyam.